I'm just waiting for actual silence, Nick. Thank you for this.
That was Molly.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Animal Crossing. Molly is super obsessed with Animal Crossing, but Nick and Tim, well, we're playing it too. So, Animal Crossing.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined remotely by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Molly Glover.
Tis I, Molly Glover, remote.
We are all seated. Well, Nick and Molly are together, but we are all separate, as it is still, we are in the midst of a global pandemic, and we are maintaining healthy distance from one another so that we hopefully do not spread the disease to other people.
At this point, we've been isolated for a week and a half. We haven't gone anywhere or left our house other than one or two essential trips.
Yeah. And I've been helping out my mom because she is high risk. So I've been doing stuff for her. But other than that, staying home and doing what we got to do. But we are recording, and we're just making sure, you know, we're recording remotely. So if things sound kind of wonky, it's the best we can do, because we were not set up to do this because we didn't know we were going to have to. Go figure.
Technology.
We're doing our best.
We're doing our best. And it's great. And speaking of it's great, what we're going to talk about, since you're stuck inside, what could you do? What could you do? Well, you could play Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Animal Crossing New Horizons. Or other Animal Crossing. But that's not what we're going to talk. We're not going to talk about old Animal Crossing. We're talking about
maybe a little
new Animal Crossing. And I'm hosting this episode basically so Molly can just get super excited because Animal Crossing is like her favorite game ever. In every version. You've played every version of Animal Crossing, is that correct?
Since day one.
For like hours. Every single version you probably spent upwards of 200 hours playing.
I would argue probably more like 1,000 hours per game.
Okay.
If not more. Because I've played basically every day in a given year for at least an hour or two, and some days like 8 hours. So I think it's safe to say that I have spent 1,000 hours per Animal Crossing game. That's an easy thing to say.
You took release day off of work, correct?
I did.
We both did.
You both did.
And I played the GameCube version from day one of release in America. Which it had these weird TV commercials with people, like human beings wearing like big cartoon heads. And it was like, one girl was like, "I love your dress. Where'd you get it?" And the other girl goes, "In the trash." Cause that was like a thing. You would dig stuff out of the trash. And it was touted as the only game that plays itself while you don't play it. Because it's based off an internal clock. And the game continues when you aren't playing.
Right.
And that to me was so cool. And I got it, and I have been in love ever since.
Nick, did you get into it because of Molly, or did you play it before you and Molly got together?
I'm not sure, because I think the first version I played was the Wii version. Was the DS version before the Wii.
You either played Wild World on the DS or you played City Folk on the Wii. I don't remember which, but because we got together in 2005 and City Folk didn't come out till we were in this house. So I think you played Wild World.
I'm pretty sure this is the fourth Animal Crossing I've played.
If you count Pocket Camp? Yeah.
No.
Ugh. Oh. Then it's the third.
Okay.
We don't count Pocket Camp. Pocket Camp doesn't count. All right.
Pocket Camp sure tried hard, but then it just delved into like every other microtransactions game. It just wasn't the spirit of Animal Crossing to me. They tried very hard, and I'm glad that they developed it because a lot of the stuff they developed came into New Horizons. and they kind of tested it on Pocket Camp, which is great, but Pocket Camp's not, I played it for about 2 months and then I deleted it.
Yeah, okay. It was definitely Wild World. It was Wild World, City Folk, New Leaf, and now New Horizons. So this is
you're right. This is four.
Yep.
You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, but Molly, you've been in it since the beginning. I played the Wii City Folk,
yep.
Quite a bit. Played on the DS for a little while. I didn't get into the DS games too much, so I didn't play on there. And I do have the new version for the
New Horizons
for the New Horizons for the Switch. So I mean, I've been playing it, but not like. You've been playing it, although I did.
Sure, I didn't know you played City Folk.
How long, I did.
What did you think of that one? Because that's the first one that had this like online multiplayer plaza stuff.
I didn't really know anybody who was playing it, so the online the plaza stuff really didn't do me a lot of good. I had a good time playing it for a while. What I grew frustrated with was if I like didn't go back to the game every single day and do shit like mm-hmm. weed and all that other stuff. It's like mm-hmm. after a week or a couple of weeks, everything's just a hell. And then I lost interest in fixing it.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
And I wish there was if I had a critique of Animal Crossing, or it's not even a critique. I mean, that's what the game is, but a frustration with Animal Crossing. It's like, it would be nice. You know, if I go on a trip for a week mm-hmm. and I get home, I'm like now all behind on the shit that I didn't do for a week.
See, now that's the trick, Tim, is to you, you're thinking you're behind, but you're not behind. You're right where you're supposed to be. That's just life. Just like how when you go away for a trip and you come back, you're not like, oh, I'm behind on my mail. You just have mail to go through. You know, like that's one of the things I love about Animal Crossing. And I think it's because I'm better now because I smoke weed, but like when I was younger, I was so high strung, and I'm still pretty high strung, but not even close to what I was like as a child and teenager. And I think that this game, it can be goal focused if you try, if you really want to be goal oriented and try to be a completionist. I mean, you can, but it will be hard. And what I love about it is like, you kind of have to let go. You're never going to get everything. You're not going to do everything. You're not going to find everything. Or if you are, it's going to take you a couple years.
Right.
And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, I get that. And it just reached the point where it was like, I was less interested in doing the maintenance.
Yeah.
The daily maintenance that needed to be done. And you know, there's...
It doesn't need to be done. You just don't have to do it. That's the thing.
But
all that happens is animals are crabby.
For me, it needed to be done. I wanted my village to be perfect, or as close uh-huh. to perfect as I could make it. So we've got New Horizons.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of new stuff going on in this game.
New stuff in this game. I can't believe it. Compared to, unfortunately, I wish they didn't name them both with the word new, but New Leaf was the last one that came out and for the DS. And that was, I think that came out 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's all I've been playing for the last 8 years, you know, really, I mean, other than other games, but you know, for Animal Crossing. And so, so much they added. They added crafting. They added this whole amazing wardrobe thing, like the way that you store items is incredible. Like there's so many little things that if you've been playing Animal Crossing for a long time, you can say to someone like, listen, the fruit auto stacks. Like, are you fucking kidding? It's like, no, the fruit auto stacks. It's like, fuck, that's amazing. You know, cause it didn't used to. It used to be that if you picked up something, it took up a slot in your inventory and then you could go into your inventory and you could move things, only fruit you could move together to stack and nothing else stacked.
And now a bunch of shit stacks.
And like you only had 10 spots for pockets.
Shells auto stack.
Yep. It's pretty amazing. Also the graphics are gorgeous.
Yeah. They are very nice.
It has a very simple, distinct style. So it's not a game that you'll hear people like ranting about the graphics of Animal Crossing looking so great, because it's not really going for that realistic kind of thing that usually gets that kind of praise, but it's like a serene little world, and the graphic style is really improved and evolved over the years. And it, like, the streams and the water and stuff look really great. They look really amazing.
The weather is incredible. The lighting that comes with the weather, like the lightning and the storms, just the way that the animations for the leaves on the trees and the flowers are all different. They all move with the wind. I remember in New Leaf, people being excited because the flowers rustled when you walked through them. And that was a big fucking deal. Like, you would move through flowers and they wiggled a little bit. And it was like, oh my God, they move. Like, you have to understand, the very first GameCube game was, it was based on a grid. So you had like a 9x9, like a 9x9 grid of your town. And then, that might be the wrong number, but you basically, like, everything existed in a square. And then you would move to the next square, up or to the side or down. So it would be like the screen, and then it would just go to the next screen. And so there was no fluidity. And so then the Wild World on the DS was the first game that that had a rolling map, is what they called it. And that was fucking mind-blowing. Because it was like, oh, I don't have to wait 3 seconds for it to move from one grid to the next. Like, I'm just flowing through this world. And that felt crazy. That's why it was Wild World, you know, because you could go anywhere.
It was wild.
It was. And so, like, that, every game, this is a game that has improved upon itself exponentially every single time
out. Of the stuff stays the same. Like, did they always have the museum? Was Blathers always in the museum from the first game? Or
nope. The museum started, I want to say, City Folk.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there was a museum in Wild World. City Folk was one of the first times where they introduced a lot of these alternate other characters and the traveling characters. And but in the original GameCube game, the majority of things were, it was just basically you and the old turtle who was the mayor of the town you moved to. Because the story was your child and you ran away from home to go live in the forest with the animals. And your parents were like, okay, well, that's a reasonable thing children do. And and then you ran away to the forest and you met this friendly Tanuki who was like, oh, yeah, I'll give you a house. And then he was like, just kidding. Actually, the house costs a bunch of money, but you can earn it. You just got to go dig up shells. And, like, the grind at the early games was way more than it is now.
Yeah, I'm playing it way less than you two, and I'm already on my second upgrade to my house.
There's a lot of really cool like Japanese mythology stuff that Animal Crossing is based on. A child running away and going to the forest full of, like, magical talking animals is like a kind of a trope. The fact that Tom Nook, the Tanuki, which if people
don't know, Tom Nook,
it's a like Japanese raccoon dog, they're called. It's the same suit that Mario wears in Mario 3, but they are like trickster spirits. Like, they are animals that can look like people or look like a beautiful woman or look like whatever, and they will take a bunch of leaves and use their tanuki magic to make them look like money, and then go and buy out your entire town's sake, and then when they're gone and all the sake is drunk, the money turns back into leaves. So in Animal Crossing, whenever you have an item in your inventory, it's represented by an iconic leaf. All the items and all the things in the game turn into leaves.
And they used to be more than that. It used to be everything was a leaf. And then they started changing the icons to be more like tools and furniture or different things. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, like, another thing is the art swindler, the con man of the series, is a fox named Red. And that is, again, that's another thing that fits into the Japanese folklore stuff, is the kitsune being kind of a little bit more malevolent than tanuki are, but often, like, kind of working together, sort of.
Historically, there's a turtle that takes you on a sea voyage, and his name is Cap'n.
But he's
a kappa,
yeah,
which is a turtle spirit.
It's they're kind of like a water demon.
Yep.
They eat your entrails out through your butthole.
Yay!
You know, who doesn't? But It is a very Japanese game that has, you know, gotten very popular in so many different countries and languages. It's great. I honestly, people just today, one of my game designer friends was asking me, I've never played this. Like, can you just give me the elevator pitch? Like, what is it? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's a life sim that is also like a chore simulator that has grinding. But then there's like all these weird hidden secrets, and it's based on the game clock. So for 365 days, every day is new. You know, like I can't think of any other video game where you can say you want to log in every day, because otherwise you're going to miss something. Not like you're going to miss time or you're not going to have as many hours logged as someone else, but you might miss something special that happened just on that one day this year.
Or in its different times a day too. Like,
yeah,
there could be creatures like animals or, you know, bugs or whatever that you never catch because you never play early in the morning or you never play late at night or something. And so a friend of yours might be like, oh yeah, I caught a scorpion last night. And you'd be like, what the fuck? There's scorpions in this game? And it's like, well, yeah, they only show up after 11 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you're wandering through the forest and you're like, what the fuck is that? And you walk over and you say hi to it and it's a ghost.
I know. I had that happen last night. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, there's ghosts?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I love that.
It's really cool. It's really cool. And I think that one of the best things about it is just that it is what you want it to be. Unless what you want it to be is like, I don't know, like, you know, Doom or a big FPS. Yeah.
You will never shoot anything in this game. There isn't a narrative. There's no end. There is no goal.
The narrative is you're here and we're all going to build, at least in New Horizons, the narrative is we're all building our island society together. And so like we're crafting this island to make it what we want it to be. The narrative for New Leaf is you move to a town because you're going to be the new mayor. You didn't know that when you got there, but then you get there and they're all like, you're the mayor, and you just go with it. For City Folk, the narrative is your little town is actually adjacent to a bunch of other little towns. And they all have people, and wouldn't it be cool if we all kind of worked together to make this city? And then Wild World, the narrative is very much like, you know, you can go anywhere. It's kind of like the narrative for Wild World is basically Animal Crossing 2, right? It's you ran away to live with the animals. You're going to be among the animals and help them and be friends with them.
And there's more.
But then. Yeah. And so now with this one, there's so much that they've added, landscaping, crafting, multiple levels, all kinds of different, you know, animals that you get to meet, all kinds of different special characters. I do not say this lightly. It is the best Animal Crossing yet.
And there's, I mean, you can go visit each other's islands.
Yep.
And that's
the online play is seamless.
Yeah. It really is. It's really easy. The only thing is whether or not people are online.
Yeah.
You start to figure that shit out as you go.
Yep.
My favorite thing in the first version of Animal Crossing that I played, City Folk, was the museum. And I think the museum in this one just is fucking amazing.
It is crazy.
Because my favorite thing is the thing I was trying to do is catch every fish and every insect and every fossil, because I wanted to be able to get going and look at that shit. You know what I'm saying?
The museum in this game looks like a real museum.
The
like
aquarium
there's little
pathways, is nuts.
And little like,
There's a tunnel. You can go through a tunnel, like walk through an aquarium tunnel with fish swimming around you. Oh my God.
It reminds me of the Science Museum and the Bell Museum kind of put together, right? Like it's got all these neat little interactive bits and like signs that are cute and little paths to follow. And there's that room where there's like animal silhouettes to show you like how tall everybody is. And
And like in the fossil area, there's like lines on the floor where you can follow like evolutionary paths, which is just like so great. I'm like, I would go to this museum. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would go to this museum and hang out in this museum if it was a real museum. I was just like kind of blown away when the museum, and you don't get it built right away. It takes a little while to get it built. Not a long time, like a day to get it built, but nonetheless, it's not right away.
It's so normally in Animal Crossing games, you can dig up fossils, like so many fossils per day kind of show up. It used to be only when it rained, I think, right?
No, that's always, yeah.
Yeah, but I used to always, my default was to not donate the fossils at the beginning of the game because they're usually worth a lot of money, bells. So I would get them identified and then go sell them and wait to collect the fossils for the end game because, you know, there's plenty of opportunity to do that. You'll get duplicates and stuff. After the museum opened up in my island and I did a little tour through, I was like, no, I'm giving all of my fossils to Blathers now right away because, like, there's a second level for some of the skeletons where you can go up around the big display with, like, T-Rex and get up next to the skull and all that. It's really gorgeous. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. What animals do you have in your town, Tim? I haven't been to your town yet.
I got a pink like chipmunky thing, and I've got a lion.
Okay. Okay. Cool. I have a Sly, who is a camouflage crocodile who also wears camouflage, and then I have what is her name? Tammy. Who appears to be a chav chipmunk, and she's a bitch. And then I got, I have Hornsby, who is a rhinoceros. He's very cute. And then the one who just moved in today is, her name is Bunny, and she's a bunny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Clever.
Wow, that's smart. That's smart.
Yeah, she's all right. She's cute, though.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I just built three houses.
Nice, nice. So you'll have people then probably tomorrow. Nick, who's in your town?
I have three animals I hate and one that I like. I started with Deirdre. She's like the snarky personality type deer.
I believe it's Snooty.
Snooty, yeah, or Diva or whatever. She's nice and friendly. But then I got Coach, who is the jock personality type, and he's a bull, and so he's always like, "Hey, bro, what's up, Stubble? Like, let's go lift some weights." And then,
That's my lion.
Character. Yeah.
And then, oh no, I have five. That's right. And then I have, the three that I got with the houses I built were, Winnie, the horse with a star on her head. And I fucking hate the horses and I hate the way the horses look. So I just don't even talk to her. And then I got Hugh, who is the blue pig, who's always talking about snacks and food, and he's kind of a slob, and he's fun. I like him.
Yeah.
And then I got Peaches, who is the pink, like, stuffed animal horse.
Her name is Peaches.
Which also the native fruit of my town is peaches.
Isn't that
crazy? I've got, like, peaches the whole way down.
Nice.
Peaches.
Tim, I think the pink chipmunk is Peanut.
That could be. You know, it's funny that I just don't even pay attention to their names. I just, I don't even care.
I think she's like a peppy one. Some of the chipmunks
she's pretty
are really
peppy.
Fun.
She's pretty peppy. She's super, super peppy. That is absolutely accurate.
So, yeah, there are the personality types that I can remember, and I don't know if they're the same in New Horizons, but historically they have been gendered, unfortunately. But for the female characters, they are there's Best Friend, which is also known as Peppy. There's Snooty, which is also Diva. And then there's one that I think is like Shy or Awkward, where they're just like apologizing all the time. And they're always like, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have talked." Like, have you ever watched Japanese like game shows or cooking shows where they always have like a female star who's on the judging, and she's always like, "It's very good. I'm not sure. Like, I like it, I think." You know, like, that's very much
that
character.
With their hands over her mouth the whole time.
Yeah, yep. And then the male characters are always the jock one, the lazy / snack guy, the one who always wants to, he's like a cuddle bud. Like, he just wants snacks and to be loved. And then there's like a grumpy one where it's like the voices are always like that, and they're super crabby all the time, and they're always like, "Go away, oh, never mind, it's you," you know, like.
And then there's the smug guy.
Oh yeah, the smug guy, the cool guy,
the snobby. Yeah, like it's. I think of him as like the equivalent of snooty.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like, yeah, it's. I think there are Japanese archetypal names for them. I only remember one of them, and that's Uchi, which for the women characters, which is a character archetype, which is like the cool big sister.
Yeah, that's the best friend.
Like, I always got your back. Yep. Like, yeah, that's.
Yep. It's very, they are, it's a very Japanese thing, because if you watch a lot of anime, you know, there's always that, you can always tell who the, like, which character is the one that's like the, that's going to be the mess, because, you know, oh, her socks are slightly down, or her shirt's untucked, right? Like, you can tell her life's a mess. You know, she's got an untucked shirt. Woo! You know, or like, you know, oh, the one that's, you know, always eating. You know, he's the hungry guy. Like, that's his whole thing. You know, it's very cute. Talking to other people's animals is one of my favorite things. I love the unintended consequences of the things that they say. And like someone on the Animal Crossing subreddit posted a picture of, they have a hamster animal, but then there's also an item that is a hamster in a cage. And so, like, they put the hamster in the cage out, and then the hamster that's the animal came over and was just looking at it, and it's like, are you having an existential crisis? Or, like, you'll have, like
it's like Goofy owning Dumbo.
Yeah, or, like, in Pocket Camp, when, like, the pig character invites you over for barbecue.
Yeah.
And then you both stand at a grill singing while you barbecue meat, and it's like, what are we eating? Like, shit like that's great. I don't know if it'll be in this game, but I can't imagine it won't. Animals will ask you, they'll be like, hey, you know how I say ya heard all the time? Because they all have a catchphrase. Be like, should I say something else? And you get to decide what they say.
Yeah.
So like, I've had animals that say things like, you know, they'll be like, God is dead. You know, like that's their greeting. Or they'll come up and be like, I'm itchy. And you're like, okay. And then they say something like, don't you think so, nerd? And like, you can come up with really fun. And it's a really fun thing to do. And then those will spread to other animals that when they're friends. So like maybe a new animal moves to town. And you're like, oh my God, this zebra always says hee-haw at the end of everything he says. That fucking sucks. Next thing you know, two other animals are saying hee-haw at the end of they say.
God damn it.
Because they think that other guy's so cool. Like,
nerdy, huh?
Or if you have because you can design your own patterns and stuff for clothing or for tiles on the ground and that sort of thing. If you design your own shirt patterns and you put them up around town or you put them up in the design shop, animals will see your designs and start wearing your clothes. And that can even go over into other people's games to some extent.
That's historically been something that happened. So I'm hoping that that's happening in this.
That would be great. Have either of you unlocked the Photopia, the photo?
Not yet.
Thing?
The Photopia, which is that the other island?
The hippie guy. No, the hippie guy that comes and talks to you.
Yeah. I just unlocked that. I haven't really done much with it.
So it's a house on an island that has like six rooms and five rooms? Oh, I see.
No.
It has a bunch of rooms, and when you're there, you can summon a model of any character that's ever been to your town, or any amiibos or Animal Crossing collector cards that you've scanned. You can summon models of those characters, up to 10 in a room with you. You can make them wear whatever clothes you ever had in your catalog. You don't have to have it in your inventory. Any item that's in your catalog, including like wallpaper and flooring, you can put up on these rooms, and then you can make everyone pose and do different expressions and do different stuff. Also, you can get like the perfect photo that you want, right? So I saw someone posted, someone recreated the burning barn room from Midsummer. Someone took, like, because they had like a bear character in their town, and they like put a bunch of hay bales all around and a bunch of campfires all around, and they did like wood walls and wood flooring, and they recreated the entire scene from Midsummer as an Animal Crossing setting in this Photopia, because it's just like a sandbox, and so like there's more incentive to picking up every item in the game, because even if you never want to decorate your house with any of this crap, it might make for a really funny photo later, so you want to have it in your catalog. It's super cool. I thought it was a great addition.
Awesome.
So, okay, we could talk about this forever, but you know, you've almost played it forever. But if you're trapped in your home, if you got a Switch, you can download it. You do not have to buy it from GameStop. And we recommend against it.
We did not go pick up our games from GameStop, and we're going to have to try to get our money back. And so technically, we've each paid for it twice right now.
Hmm. Well, that's worth it. It's frustrating
because GameStop has recently changed so that because of all the backlash they got about staying open and keeping their employees there and not treating them well for all this, they said, okay, now everyone can buy their games remotely and just swing by, and we will sanitize the game before we hand it off to you. And it was like, oh, cool, you can take everyone's money remotely. Can I get a refund remotely? And they're like, no. All the transaction is only in their favor. They're not doing anyone a public health favor. They're doing themselves a favor and making it so that they can still take people's money. Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. Don't use GameStop. There are other ways to get Animal Crossing. But we got to move on to five questions.
And five I believe questions.
This is currently the last set of five questions that we have.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. I am. If we record again in a couple weeks, and if I don't have more questions, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just end. We'll just end the show with no fun.
COVID-19 wins.
That's not really what's going to happen. But anyway. So Molly.
I'm sorry. We have five questions from Nathan Heavenstone, another awesome person who sends in tons of questions.
Thank you, Nathan. All right. What's question one?
Question one. What is a food or drink you love so much that it always surprises you and maybe insults you a little bit when someone says they don't like it?
Oh, man.
Okay. For me, I will say it is sushi, because I feel like anyone who says they don't like sushi has never had good sushi, or they are, I don't mean like, oh, you're allergic to fish or whatever. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, if you're like, I don't like sushi, then when have you had it? I will interrogate you to find out what you've had, where you've had sushi, what sushi you ordered, how you ate it, what you ate it with, because I think it's one of the greatest foods in the world, and it's got so much variety that I don't understand how anyone can just not like it. That's like saying you don't like Italian food. Like, it's a whole category, right?
Hmm. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
I don't know if I have a
specific food, but it's definitely like spicy food.
Sure.
Right? So, like, let's say Frank's hot sauce, right? If someone says that they don't like hot sauce, I'm just like, oh. So there's an entire flavor category that you just don't fuck with. Interesting to me. And you, that's like someone saying, oh, I don't like salt ever on anything. Or I don't like sugar or sweet anything ever. I don't like sweets. I can't fathom that. It's like you're missing out on an entire flavor category. And hot sauce is like the purified, weaponized, great of that flavor. I don't get it.
I suppose the thing that I'm running through a lot of things as I'm thinking about this, but the thing that I love that I don't understand why other people don't love is I love sour food. I really love things that are sour. I mean, I will suck on a lime because I think it's delicious, and I just don't understand why other people don't love sour food. And it's like the you know, my favorite kind of indulgence is any kind of sour candy. If I can find one that's actually like genuinely sour, and if I can find something that's actually genuinely sour, it will be around for about maybe 6 months before it goes away because nobody fucking eats it except me.
Yeah.
And it just pisses me off because more people need to like sour food, so the stuff I like doesn't go away. Question number two.
Question two. as the exact opposite of question one. What's a food or drink you hate so much that it always surprises you to find people like it? And maybe it makes you think slightly less of them, if only for a moment. I don't understand how anybody likes the smell of onions.
Mm.
Even when I still liked eating onions okay, or back when I was still cook with them a little bit, I didn't like this. I didn't like the smell. I used to like the flavor, but then that changed. I'm not sure why, but I've always hated the smell. I mean, it smells like BO. It fucking smells like BO. So when people are like posting pictures and they're like, got a big pot of onions cooking in butter because I'm going to make caramelized onions. It's like, fuck me. So your whole house smells like teenage armpit for like the next 6 days. Like, why would you do that?
That's fair.
Yeah.
I have never found a fish that I liked. So, ooh. You know, your sushi answer is like, yeah, I hate sushi because it's all fucking fish.
No, there's vegetable sushi.
I know
there's vegetarian sushi.
There is vegetable sushi, but it has seaweed on it, and seaweed tastes like fish.
We got to get you some soy wrap sushi. Tim, I'm going to make you like sushi.
Seaweed tastes like the sea. It's fish also tastes like sea.
We'll get you the soy wrapper. You will like sushi. Anyway, I'm going to make this happen.
everything else, there are plenty of things in sushi I would like, but... It's just fish. I cannot say all fish tastes fishy to me.
Yeah.
And I do not like that flavor at all. I can't stand it.
All right, so. Nick.
Oh, like raw tomatoes on things are kind of a ruiner I know what it is.
Eat tomatoes just straight. And you thought that was gross.
I know what it is. It's anyone who makes potato salad or tuna salad or any of the like salad type sandwich stuff. And they put in crunchy bits.
Like celery.
If you put in raw celery or raw onions in your potato salad or your egg salad, you are wrong. You're doing the wrong thing.
Nick, it gives it texture.
You're ethically questionable. It is the texture. That's it. That's what I don't like about it more than anything. I love celery. I don't like raw onions, but raw celery bits will ruin a tuna salad or something for me completely. Like, it's completely a textural thing. And, like, someone will be like, oh, look, I made this salad. Oh, that looks great. And I'll look at it and be like, oh, nope, it's fucking trash.
All right.
Question number three.
Do you have a food or drink holy grail? Something that you desperately want to try, but there are barriers to trying it, like cost or health or other reasons.
Ribs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I can't eat pork. Right. I don't know if we talked about this a little bit before, but I was raised vegetarian and I'm missing like an enzyme set or something. So pork makes me really sick, makes everyone around me pretty unhappy too. So I avoid it. Because it's super easy to avoid. And most of the time it doesn't even smell good. Like, pork chop smells really bad to me. Ribs, like barbecue joints, don't really smell good to me. Bacon smells good. I think that's just human nature. But I would love to, like, sit down and eat, like, a rack of ribs.
Dripping with sauce.
Yeah. Right?
Falling off the bone.
Real baby back ribs. No, I think, I don't know, that sounds visceral and delicious. Beef ribs are way too fatty and there's not a lot of payoff there. Apparently, like, pork ribs are where it's at, and it's just something I'll never really eat.
All right.
It's more like something that I really like that I can never find. I love a good carpaccio, which is basically thinly sliced, basically raw beef with capers and lemon juice and arugula, and then you put it on the top of a piece of bread and you eat it, and it's just it's ridiculously good, and it's super hard to find. It's finding it anywhere, and it's really fucking hard to make yourself. So really, the only way to have it is if you can find it in a restaurant, and I almost never can. And if I do find it on a menu, I will order it no matter how much it costs.
I have had it and it's very good.
Yeah.
All right. Question four. Oh, I
didn't
do
answer.
Mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is, you know that Pocky Ghost Pepper Chip Challenge or whatever? The like It's like a single chip, and it's so hot that it's going to like murder your face. And like the challenge is, can you eat the one chip?
I have two of them in the cupboard.
I know you do. I can't have them, and I want them, and my stomach will bleed, and I want them. So I want to try them because I love spicy food, but I can't have spicy food anymore. So like that is something that when that came out, and it was like, first of all, I love a dare. Secondly, anytime someone tells me you can't do this, I want to do the thing. I want to at least try to do the thing. So like that's already annoying. But then the fact that I can't eat it because of the spiciness, which is something I used to revel in. It's that, honestly.
Yeah, that's rough.
I've been able to try pretty much anything else that I like, but boy, would I love to be able to eat something that spicy just to see if I could.
Yeah, that does sound unfortunate.
All right.
Question four.
Have you ever had a moment where you were super excited to introduce someone to a dish or a drink that you love, only for them to be underwhelmed by it? And if so, what went through your head when that happened?
So I think it's like Lake and Grand or Lake and not Garfield, whatever, on east of Lindale on Lake in South Minneapolis, there is Uptown Pizza, which is very much not in Uptown technically. Jeremy Stomberg.
That's for Jeremy. Drink. Yeah.
So Uptown Pizza has, in addition to making like a 22-inch pizza, which is fucking redonk, they do a buffalo chicken wing pizza, and they send it to you with a bunch of like sauce packets of blue cheese dressing to put over the pizza as you eat it. It's fucking delicious. It was a staple of our like D&D nights for a while, and there was one person in our group who hated it. She tried, she gave an effort, totally rejected. It's like in her wheelhouse flavor wise. Adding blue cheese didn't fix it or change anything. It was just like, oh, I feel sorry for you that you can't enjoy this with us because this is what we're going to get every time.
Yeah. Forever. That's rough. Poor her. I make a like huge vegetable stir fry thing that I just adore. And I think is absolutely delicious. And, the first time I made it for Pat, she kind of didn't like it very much. And I mean, she's warmed to it over time, but she was like, this is okay. I was like, oh, well, shoot, here's a meal we can't eat together.
Yeah.
And slowly over time, we figured out how to make it something that she actually liked and that I still liked. So, you know, hooray for working together as a couple. But that first time, it was certainly a disappointing experience.
Yeah. So one of my favorite drinks for a long time was gin and grapefruit juice, which I think is incredibly refreshing and tasty. And to me in the summertime is like the best thing in the world and is a great tonic. And I had a big thermos of it, gin and grapefruit juice, and it was all icy and delicious and cold. And one of my friends was like, this is when I was in Chicago, and he was like, I really want a drink. And I was like, oh, I've got drinks in this thermos or whatever, like that we brought to the park because we were out at a park just being high and dumb. And he took a sip of it and was so mad at me. And was just like, this just like, it's the most, he never had grapefruit juice before. Oh. And he thought that it tasted like the worst thing he'd ever had. And then, so like the runner up to this is, actually it's kind of the same. I love radishes, just raw radishes with salt. And I have ever since I was a kid.
Sure.
And, I was my good friend, Mark Larson, and I were it was our first time going to Gen Con, and we were in the early crew van. So we're sitting in the back of this very bumpy white Econoline Ford van. And I was like, oh, I've got this snack. I got radishes. And he's like, oh, what you got? I was like, I got radishes. He's like, I've never had radishes before. I was like, you've never had radishes? He's like, no. I'm like, oh, they're so fucking good. Here. And I, like, you like things that are kind of sharp and spicy? He's like, yeah. I'm like, great. I gave him a radish, and he put it in his mouth, and he chewed it up, and he spit it into his hand.
Oh.
And he was like, this tastes like scorpions and dishwater.
Oh, That's so sad.
And I couldn't believe it because I was like, but they're like radishes was like my favorite thing. So yeah, grapefruit juice and radishes. Apparently they both taste terrible to some people.
To some people. All right. Question number four.
Finally, question five.
Oh, five. Duh. Yeah.
Is there something you learned to make at home from scratch that made you feel like you leveled up your cooking, but also proved to be dangerous because of how much you started making it?
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Is there something you learned to make at home from scratch that made you feel like you leveled up your cooking, but which also proved to be dangerous because of how much you started making it?
I don't think I'm the greatest cook ever. I think there are some things I make well, but when I figured out that I could flash fry green beans and then make this ginger soy sauce to dip them in, that's pretty dangerous because I can eat like a pound and a half of green beans in a sitting.
Yeah.
That way, just like so good.
Mine is similar to that in that. I figured out a really good pot stickers recipe and made my own pot stickers, but like they take hours.
Yeah.
And it's a very labor intensive process, but they're so good that like I really just wanted to just make them all the time. And this was just probably 6-7 months ago where we had pot stickers for like 4 meals in one week, I think. Like it was crazy.
Oh wow.
Nick?
It was chicken crust pizza.
Oh, we had that so many days in a row.
We were not eating any like carbs. We were doing paleo for a couple of years.
Grain free, sugar free. Yeah.
And so I found a recipe where you would take like a pound of ground chicken and you would roll it out after mixing it with like Parmesan or something.
Yeah.
And then you would bake it to make a crust made out of brown chicken. And it was like a crispy, thin crust. It was great. And then you'd put all your sauce and toppings on it and bake it like a regular pizza. And it was totally paleo friendly and totally fucking delicious. And we
hadn't had pizza in like a year and a half at this point. So it was like fucking incredible to have.
And it was like opening up the floodgates for pizza on our diet because all of a sudden it was like, well, we're going to the grocery store. Better buy 5 or 6 pounds of ground chicken so that we make pizzas for this week. Like, yeah, it was out of control. It was delicious.
Yeah. Amazing. It was nuts. Hooray! Awesome.
Well, that's 5 questions. This has been our episode about Animal Crossing. Molly, I was going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask it before we're done because I forgot to ask it earlier because we've talked before on this podcast about how you respond to spiders. Real or fake. And they show up all the time in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
I get really creeped out. They are very... So the spiders that come down from the tree, I think, are the worst. Because you shake the tree and it's like, wow, wow, and the spider pops down. And the worst part is if you don't catch it, it crawls its way back up its little web string. And that makes me want to die. But the tarantulas that you can encounter... Yeah, at night you can just like find a tarantula. But the worst part is they have a little animation they do right before they attack where they rear up on their back legs and then they run at you. And it is the worst thing. But luckily it's been in every game, I think, since Wild World. So I knew it was happening. I'm inured to it. But once I catch them for the museum, which I have done, each of those I have caught for the museum, I don't fuck with them anymore. If I shake a tree and a spider falls out of it, I just close my eyes until it goes away. Cause I can't deal with it. I can't.
Okay. All right. I was just, you love this game, but I had to know. So, all right. Thank you very much. Yeah. 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 What?
Well, one of the random islands that you can get sent to when you go to visit a random island is an island full of tarantulas
that are
just constantly spawning
like, 20 tarantulas at a time. It's called Tarantula Island.
If you move to one side of the island and then back, the tarantulas have respawned.
Oh my God. And they just bite the shit out of you?
They're very aggressive.
I've heard that there's a new character that wanders. He's a dragon and he buys the tarantulas from you for like 50% markup.
Yeah.
And so people are like, if you save all your tarantulas, I'm like, what? I wouldn't even be, it would be like, don't go down there. Don't, you don't want to see it.
Wow. Okay. So thank you for answering that question. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to bring up such a painful memory. If you want to play Animal Crossing, you can, you know, if you're friends with us on Facebook, you can message us and we'll share you our friend code. We don't share them with our not friends. And that's just because, you know, you shouldn't do that. Don't share them with your not friends. But if
you're
friends.
What's nice about New Horizons is you can put people on a best friends list, and then those people are able to affect your island. And everyone else, it's kind of like they have a read-only version of your island.
Oh, yeah.
They can't dig holes. They can't pick up stuff. And so that's nice. And for that reason, my best friends list is like two people, because I don't want to have everybody on my best friends list, because that defeats the point, you know? So, but yeah, I would say, feel free to friend just anybody. That's fine. But, you know, as long as you're not giving away your personal information, don't tell them where you live or what your real name is. You know, don't be dumb.
Yeah. So other than that, you know, come out and find us on Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
God knows Molly will be there almost all the time. So
I have to work sometimes.
I know. I know. It's the worst, isn't it? Please, if you want to support us on Patreon in these difficult and challenging times, we would sure appreciate it. You would have heard this episode early if you had done that. But now you can't. So it's you're just hearing it on time because you didn't support us on Patreon. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and of course, write a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you listen to our podcast. We'd sure appreciate it. We will catch you remotely once again in another week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Stay home. Wash your hands.
Bye.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
He just kind of talked about it, assuming that I knew what it was and, like, I pay attention to things.